I would like to thank everyone who has joined us in worship today in a very, very special Sunday. I would like to thank the family of Gregory William Harrell to invite us in this journey of his life in Christ together. I also want to apologize and repent in front of you about the last hymn. I thought that we were a United Methodist Church, and it seems like we have still many things to do in order to really reunite our lyrics on the same hymnal. And this is a time that we come together and really praise God for what God has done in our life. So let us bow our heads on this great day. Lord, we come to you celebrating your gifts and the holy mystery of the sacraments. Lord, be with us. Waken our spiritual eyes and ears and also our hearts so we can see how you live in our lives. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be worthy in front of you. And may you be glorified through this time as we hear and listen to your words. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, introduced a sacrament as a very important part of our spiritual life. He calls it the means of grace. In all this, he says that this is our way to reach sanctification. And he told his followers to regularly practice these means of grace. And including, this will be including our corporate worship where we come together as a family of Christ, our time and devotion to read God's words and the scripture, and also pray for us and also for the kingdom of God, finding our role in God's kingdom, and through a small group where we share our faith together. And at last, it will be through the regular participation of the sacraments. Today is a special Sunday because we have two sacraments that Jesus actually practiced during his life. He was baptized in the Jordan River through John the Baptist. And thank you to Reverend Tanner and Janet that we can have a taste of the river, Jordan River, where after the sacrament of baptism, God had opened the heavens and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And we believe in spirit that God said the same thing as we baptize Gregory William Harrell, that God said, "This is my Son, that I'm well pleased." God was going to be with him. And on top of that, we will be able to celebrate our communion together. The communion is where Jesus gathered his disciples during the time of Passover, and he had offered a new interpretation of to this meal that we share and we continue to share up to this day. We're going to talk about the Passover. Passover is an event that happened during the time of Egyptian captivity. The Israelites were under their slavery, the slavery of Egyptians, for the past 400 years. They have been under oppression, and they have been under so much agony that God says, "I heard the cry of my people." And God raises this leader called Moses to go and confront Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and say, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh, as you all know, has a hardened heart, and through 10 plagues, he does not comply to what God is demanding him to do. And until we come to the last plague, which is a very horrible thing, that the Spirit of the Lord comes into every family that does not have their doorpost spread with the blood of the Lamb, and the Spirit takes away all the firstborn of Egypt. And that is when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, reluctantly offers the people of God to go. This is the Passover meal where the Israelites continue to celebrate in order to remember and give thanks to what God has done. God had reserved their life and their nation through shedding the blood of the Paschal Lamb. And they come together to eat the lamb together. And they come together and celebrating with the unleavened bread and the wine to remember what God has done. And in the same manner, Jesus has his disciple gathered together before he goes up unto the cross. And this actually becomes the Last Supper. And he's gathered here, and he brings this new interpretation. The bread that is used, which is an unleavened bread, unlike what Chuck Noll's church had said, it's unleavened because God told him not to put any yeast in it. And he uses this bread as a sign and a message, says, "This is my body that was broken out to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he takes a cup and he gives thanks to God and gives it to his disciples. As this is a replacement of the Paschal Lamb blood, this becomes my blood that is shed for you and for eternity. So Jesus puts a twist onto this manner of Passover. And he himself becomes the true body and the true blood that is always with us. Like the Passover meal was to remember God's grace and God's communion, God's blessing upon the nation of Israel, the communion that Jesus put on a new interpretation becomes a sign and a mystery for us to remember how Christ is always with us. Let me talk about the word sacrament. The sacrament comes from a Greek word that means mystery. And we have a slightly different understanding from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, which believes that transubstantiation, the blood and the bread and the wine actually becomes the body and the blood. Instead of us thinking that this actually becomes the body and the blood, I'm sorry, body and blood, this becomes a mystery. God works in these agents. But we do not actually eat the true body and the blood, because this has been an accusation of the second century Christians. At that time, during the worship, what they would do, they will ask all the Christians who are not baptized yet, because you had to go through a long period of catechism, to go out. They will close all the doors and they'll close all the windows, and they will start eating the body and the blood. So it says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly," I'm sorry about that, "very truly, Lord, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." So with this verse and the practice of the people closing all the doors and not allowing anyone who was baptized to come and partake, they thought that they closed the doors, opened up the tomb, and cut off a body of Christ and started to eat as an act of cannibalism. But that's not true. We have a different meaning to the Holy Communion. And we believe that it is a holy mystery that God works through these bread and this blood and this wine, that through that we experience God's transforming love. So I would like to share some thoughts about what Holy Communion is. Holy Communion is remembering. It's remembering God's love and God's sacrifice through his Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to this world even though he didn't have to come, and he died on the cross and he experienced death. But not only that, he stopped there, he overcame death and he resurrected on the third day. We come to remember the love and the sacrifice that God had poured out into this world. And we also remember that Christ is with us, because on the Last Supper, Christ knew that his disciples will stray away if they did not know that Christ was with him. And Christ said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will abide in me, and I in them." So therefore, remember the communion and the companion that we have in Christ through this time of communion. This is one of the reasons why I go out to our shut-ins or people who cannot come to our church, and I bring my little communion set, because this becomes a true representation of Jesus Christ saying that I am with you. Do not forget that I will never forsake you. And this has been a true blessing to me as we share that communion with the people who cannot come to our church for service, remembering that we are one body and we are one family in Christ. And especially this communion reminds us that not only that the people who are in our congregations are one body, one in Christ, but remember that all the churches in the world who share the same Savior are all in one body and one family of faith. So Holy Communion is remembering. Holy Communion is another way of us to know the grace of God. Holy Communion is actually a vehicle of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's why during the communion, I pray and say, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. And the church asks God to make them to be for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be the world, the body of Christ, and redeemed by his blood. So by the Spirit, we proclaim that God works through these elements. The Holy Communion is a transforming agent of God. And this is what I believe. When you come in faith, through partaking this communion, God will work in your lives. And when Christ is in you, I believe that God will heal all the brokenness that we have. And when Christ is in you, I believe that God can also heal all your physical disease. And when Christ is in you, I believe that God will transform your life to look more like Christ. So we come through this confirmation of communion knowing that God will work through this. And I don't know about you, but after I heard this story, my whole perspective of communion had changed. And this is a story that we celebrate up in the former church that I have in McLean, Virginia, and that was when Bishop Cho, was a senior pastor of this church. So they were in this regular time of communion where they offered the bread and grape juice as a sign and a sacrament, a mystery of Christ. And there was this gentleman named Mr. Choi, and he was a person who came to church because of his wife. His wife was a devout believer, but he never really accepted Christ as his Savior. He came in and out of the church, and he started to participate in the Holy Communion because United Methodists, we believe in the open table. We believe that God will work in this element, so whoever comes, God will transform. So he comes back, and he received the communion. On his way back home, he asked his wife, "Honey, why did the church use white wine today?" And the wife asked with surprise, "No, they always use grape juice as usual." And the husband said, "That's weird, because when I dipped my bread, it was very clear." He went back home and he couldn't sleep. He was rolling and tossing and he just couldn't sleep because of this mystery that happened. And that's when he was reminded by the Holy Spirit of what the sermon was. The sermon was about the living water. And his mind constantly started to meditate on the word living water until he fell on his knees and he proclaimed that, "Lord, give me that living water that will quench my thirst, that will overflow my cup, and that will become a cleansing agent of my life." And his life had changed ever since. Holy Communion is truly an agent of God working in our lives. And at last, I believe that Holy Communion is eschatological. It is something that we thirst and we yearn for, that time that we come together with Christ. And even Jesus Christ said this as he was offering this last meal: I will not eat again until I have this time in the heavenly banquet. And we come to this communion knowing that this is a time where we practice and we develop our appetite for that kingdom. Let me tell you, Christians do not rely only on the perspective of the world. We have to have an eschatological mindset of what the kingdom is going to be like. And some of you might have wondered, why did he say that we saw hope through the recent shooting? And this is why I think that I saw hope in this shooting. And you can disagree with me, and please come and express your disagreement, because this is how I see it. It is a tragedy. It is something that should have never happened. And it is such a sadness and a heartbreaking story for the family and friends. That is nothing that I deny. And as a church, we need to continue to pray for them. But let me tell you why I think we should still see hope. There were 10 Christians who died proclaiming their faith. They could have easily said, I don't believe in God, and their leg would have been shot. But 10 young people continued to profess their faith regardless of the fear that they were encountered, because they focused their eyes onto the kingdom. And my belief and my experience, God will never forsake the blood of the martyrs. That's why I agree that we have 10 martyrs in this land, which I believe and pray that will bring revival to this country, but also that brings hope that us as Christians do not rely on the worldly matters. And we have to look upon that kingdom. In the same way, what communion reminds us is that we do not belong in this world. We have this developed appetite for us to join in that kingdom and that heavenly feast. And I don't know if you notice, there is a bread that has been cooking in the back. And the smell of the bread, in my hope, developed an appetite for you to come and partake this communion. In the same way, I hope and pray that every time you come to this table, that you will develop that appetite, that you pray and say, Lord, may I look forward to that time to see you face to face in your kingdom and share this heavenly banquet with all the saints who faithfully lived by your words. There are just a couple of things that I want to share before you come to our table. First, I want to say that you need to use this time to examine yourselves, because communion is a way and an act of God's holy mystery, where we come with the faith that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed and we are ready. A presidential candidate was asked this question: have you ever asked God for forgiveness? And this was his answer: I'm not sure I have. I just go on and try to do a better job from there. I don't think so. If I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but this presidential candidate is known as a Christian. But his answer shows and depicts what we think Christianity is. Christianity is something that we know and recognize our vulnerability, that we, with the sin, will never be able to go in front of God. And with our vulnerability, we therefore ask for God's forgiveness and God's grace to be upon us. But if we have this kind of mentality that I just do what is given to me and I overcome it, it means that we heavily rely on our own individual gifts and talent. And we only need God on that 2% of tragedy that we cannot control. So therefore, they come in a mentality of insurance. They come to worship. They come and offer their time and their monetary gifts and say, Lord, when I hit a tragedy, you better come down and protect me. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is where we commit our lives to God. And we come knowing that we are sinners. That's why every time we come to this table, we have a time of repentance where we examine our hearts and we ask for God's forgiveness to cleanse us. Another thing that I just want to share, let's read this. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves and only then eat the bread and drink of the cup. Another thing that I would like to ask and share is how we receive it. Like I said, in the Catholic Church, you're not, because we actually believe that this element becomes the actual body of Christ, you're not able to take or touch it. The priest will take it and feed you in your mouth. But for us, we don't believe it that way. But there's one tradition that we do not forsake, is that we do not ask you to take your own bread. I know that some people will be concerned about, what about the hygiene issues? Pastor, I can't really rely onto your hygiene and your hand. That's why we use sanitizers, just to do our best. But we also come with the manner that it is given as a gift of God. So when you receive this gift, there is a way that we do it in a tradition of our church. We lift up our left hand and we put our right hand underneath as a cross, as a symbol that we remind ourselves of the grace of our Lord. And when we come up to the altar, whoever gives up the bread, we look into the eyes, because I believe that this is a communal act, that we come and we react with one another. Look into my eyes as another person gives and says, this is the body that was broken for you. Receive it as a gift. And if we have the little cups that we drink out of it, this is how you eat it. You just eat it like this. But since we practice communion in an act of intention, what you do is, I will ask you to put your right hand and grab the bread and dip it into the grape juice. Whenever the communion holder gives you and says this to you, this is the body of Christ that was broken for you. This is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Like I said, this is a communal act where we ask that you respond with either an amen or thanks be to God, or even repeating saying, this is the body of Christ that was broken for me. And we come with the act because we remember and we believe that Christ will live and become evident in this time of sacrament. So for the communion, it is something that we should celebrate and something that we should be thankful of, because God continues to work through this holy sacrament. And at this time, as we celebrate, the baptism of Jesus Christ, I invite you to celebrate the communion and the supper of our Lord. Let us have a time to examine ourselves and repent our lives in front of God. I invite you to come in a manner of prayer. You'll be able to follow our communion liturgy on the hymnal of page 12. And also, I would like to invite you to join us in this act of Holy Communion, because today is World Communion Sunday. And World Communion Sunday is, like we had said, it is a time where all the churches who proclaim the sovereignty of Jesus Christ celebrate God's sacrament. And on the United Methodist Church side, what we do is we collect offerings for the people who are becoming international leaders. So please, come and join us in this holy act. When you come up to the communion, you will have two plates that after you receive the communion, you'll be able to offer it as a designated fund for the people of the international leaders of our church. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would like to invite you to pray in silence, examining yourselves as you come and approach this table.